Today, I just have a New Year's sermon that I want to share with you. First of all, I do want to make mention, as this past year, the team that you elected, the Long Rangers, the Long Range Planning Committee, they worked hard to lay a foundation for a long-range plan. And that foundation is we've established a vision. You remember what the vision is? To see that God's name becomes great among all the nations in the world. That comes from the book of Malachi. To see God's name become great. That too is going to take each and every one of us. So that's a good prayer for you this coming year. God, use me somewhere, somehow, to make your name great. In this part of the world, wherever I am, whether it's a clerk at the convenience store, someone in my family at school, wherever. And we're going to do all of this. Our mission is to serve God, to engage our community, and to grow together in Christ. Now, part of this foundation that we're laying is, first of all, is going to be our winter Bible study, which begins next week in Sunday school. And we're going to be studying the book by Max Lucado, Before Amen. It's about prayer. I'm going to be preaching on prayer in the month of January as well. So that's our winter Bible study. And then on February the 25th, that Sunday morning at 9:30, this is for all the church, you're going to take what you learn about prayer and we're going to apply it in a very practical way. We're going to learn how to utilize this program that I'll tell you how to bring it up on your computer. It's going to show you your neighbors, and you can sit in your easy chair, and you can pray for a neighbor a day, a neighbor a week. Pray specifically for them, okay? We're going to pray for our neighbors, ask God to work in their lives, to bless every home. Following that, we're going to trust that God's going to work in the hearts and lives of our neighbors that we're praying for. We're going to teach you, we're going to train you, we're going to offer you tips on how to witness, how to share your faith. Also on a Sunday morning during Sunday school at 9:30, March the 25th. And then, this is a little bonus that we're going to offer in April, on April the 28th in Sunday school at 9:30. We're going to give you some tips on how better to study God's Word. So there's four areas, counting our prayer study, that we want to share with you. That's going to lay the foundation in making God's name great. We're going to be prepared through our prayers and our witnessing and our study of God's Word. And then we're going to crank our team back up here. We still have a plan that we need, a dream, a vision for our church for the next 3 to 5 years that we want to work on and get nailed down. So we're going to be cranking back up for that. But now today, I want to share with you not about resolutions, okay? Probably many of us in here are going to set and determine and make some resolutions for the coming years. We normally do. But I want to share with you something more. I want to share with you about an essential. And this is what I want to ask each and every one of us to do for this coming year. It's an absolute essential. Not only to see the vision that we have for Five Forks Baptist Church, but for our own individual Christian lives as well. I believe an essential that every one of us needs to chase after, is to grow in our faith. Would you agree with that? Do you need to grow in your faith? I need to grow in my faith. And we're going to start with that most basic thing that we need to make throughout the year, to grow with God and to be all that God wants us to be. There's a name for that, and it's called faith. The Bible says a lot about faith, but let me give you one verse this morning, one out of several that I'm going to share with you. Hebrews 11:6. You know what that verse says? Without faith, what is it? It's impossible to what? To please God. You cannot put a smile on God's face unless you trust Him. Unless you have faith in Him, unless you just absolutely believe in Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Nothing will please God more than when we trust Him. Nothing will cheer the heart of God more. Nothing really pleases God like our faith does. If you want to please Him, then we need to grow in that area of our faith. And I'm sure most of us are going to say, Pastor, I agree with that. Pastor, I want to do that. I want to grow in my faith. I want to please the Lord in the year 2018. But how do I do that? How do I grow in my faith? And I tell you, that's a good question for any of us to ask. How does God help us grow in our faith? He does it in a very, very unique way. And you know what that way is? You may not like this, but he does it by testing us. How many of you like to take tests? That's not our favorite thing to do, is it? Well, let's call it something else. Let's call it opportunities. You like that word better? We're going to have opportunities this year to grow in our faith by God testing it. I'm going to give you four of them this morning very quickly, okay? The first test, you probably heard me share this before in other sermons, but it's always worth remembering. The first test that I want to share with you this morning, God is going to test our faith through demands. Through demands. In other words, God will many times ask us to do things that we don't understand. You ever had that happen to you? Did you know there's around 1,050 commands in the Bible? I mean, 1,050 things that God says, you need to be doing these things, all right? Some of these commands, believe it or not, they seem inconvenient. They may even seem unreasonable. Some of these commands will seem impossible for us. They're all there for our benefit and for our spiritual growth. Let me give you just three or four commands. Commands like, don't worry about anything. That's an easy one, isn't it? How about another is, no matter what happens in your life, you need to give thanks and rejoice. That's another easy one, isn't it? It seems unreasonable. There's a command that says, return good for evil. There's a command that says, forgive all the people that have hurt you and harmed you. Don't seek revenge. Just forgive them. Commands like that. Every single command in the Bible, I believe with all my heart, is for our good and for the development of our faith, because every command is a test of faith. How can I say that? What do I mean by that? Every time I read something in the Bible, and I feel and I believe and I see that God says, this is I need to be doing this. I need to add this to my life here. I have a question. I have a choice. Who am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to God who knows what's best for my life? Or am I going to listen to my gut feeling, my natural inclination, and think, and I think I know what's best for me, so I'm going to go that route. This is why we often have problems in our lives, because we're not following God's word, plain and simple. Let me give you an example. When God used Moses to free the Israelites from slavery in the nation of Egypt, they were heading toward a land that God had promised the Israelites years earlier, promised that land to their ancestor Abraham. But it took them 40 years to get there. They wandered about in a wilderness for 40 years. That's kind of crazy. You know why? Because if you were in Israel, you could walk from where the Israelites were in Egypt to Israel in about 2 weeks. That's all it takes, 2 weeks by walking. But it took them 40 years. What in the world was going on out there in that desert? God was testing them. In fact, the Bible says that God gave the Israelites specifically 7 tests, and they failed each and every one of those tests. Every time God would say, when he gave them a test and they failed it, he'd say, okay, another lap around the desert, let's go. And then he'd give them another test. They'd fail that. Another lap around the desert. And finally, they just completely failed. And that generation died off. But their kids got to come into the promised land. Now, you may be in a desert right now. Guess what? You're in a test. You're in a test. God is testing your faith this moment. God wants you to learn to trust Him on a moment-by-moment basis. Not just trust Him once a week when you come to church, not just once a month. You remember the prayer Jesus gave? Part of it said, give us this day our daily bread. It's not weekly bread. It's not monthly bread. It's daily bread. God wants us to depend on Him every moment, because that pleases Him. That's the reason that He gave manna to the Israelites when they were wandering around for 40 years. You remember that? walking around there in that desert. Obviously, there's no food in the desert, okay, to feed all those people. The Bible says that God gave them this special kind of bread every day. It's called manna. It came down. They would wake up, and there it was on the ground every morning. And God commanded them, go out, get all the manna you want for that day. For that day. Don't store it up. Don't hog it. Because he wanted them to depend on him every day. Exodus 16, verse 4 says this. God said, the people will go out, they'll gather a day's portion every day. Why? God said that I may test them. Whether they're going to walk, whether they're going to obey in my word or not. And sometimes God will ask us to do something unreasonable or impossible that he might work in us to grow our faith. You see, faith and obedience always go together. When God says to do something and I obey it, it's going to build my faith. I can develop my faith in the year 2018 by obeying God more. That means this next year, as I read the Bible, and every time I find a verse, and I know God is saying that this is what he wants to do in my life, he wants me to do that, and when I obey it, my faith is going to grow. On the other hand, if I ignore it and say, well, I'll think about it, I'll procrastinate a while on this one, my faith is going to shrivel. The impossible, however, forces us to trust God. And that's just the first test, but I promise you, it's going to happen. You're going to have some demands. God will ask us to do some things this year that seems unusual, unreasonable. We don't understand them, or we may even think they're impossible to do. That's going to be a test in faith. So here's the truth. Take with you today, okay? The truth, I can grow in my faith when I obey God. I can grow in my faith when I obey God. But now there's a second test we want to look to as well. Not only will there be demands, but God will use another area to test our faith, to grow our faith, through difficulties. I'm talking about problems and pressures and stresses and the inevitable crises that are going to happen in our life this next 365 days. And the year 2018, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. Do you? But God does, and he's going to use all those areas, all these difficulties in our lives. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says this, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved, you have been harassed by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me dissect that real quickly, okay? First of all, Peter says, you're going to be temporarily harassed, okay? Aren't you glad it's temporary? You'll have problems in 2018 that will come, but they'll also go as well. Some of those problems will go. Then Peter says, you'll be temporarily harassed. You'll have these problems temporarily. There are going to be all kinds of trials, all kinds of problems. Some of those problems that you had, the old problems of 2017, you're not going to have them anymore in 2018. That's the good news. The bad news, we're going to have some new problems. The ones that we've never had before. And they're going to come in all kinds of sizes and shapes and colors. In fact, sometimes God will custom make a problem just for you and I. You remember the story about a guy named Jonah? You remember that? Man, what a classic story of disobedience. And finally, he did obey. He was running from God. And the Bible says that God created a great fish that swallowed him up for about 3 days in order to get Jonah's attention, which it did. Sometimes God will custom make a great fish for you and I. Sometimes God will custom make a problem, and it seems like it swallows us up to get our attention so that we'll trust him. You see, if we never had a problem, we would never know that God could solve that problem. One person said this, you don't know God is all that you need until God is all that you've got. Boy, there's truth in that one, right? There will be situations in our lives this next year, difficulties, where God is going to be all that we've got. And so we need to learn to trust God. And then thirdly, Peter says this. Says these trials are going to come, and that's no accident. Nothing comes into our lives unless God filters it first. Everything happens that happens in our lives, good or bad, is Father filtered. God has to say, okay, I'll allow that. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. Now, don't misunderstand me, okay? Because some of you are thinking right now, God custom made this terrible thing that's going on in my life, or that happened to me. I'm not saying God causes all of our problems, okay? You know, really, God doesn't have to, does he? I bring enough problems on myself, don't you? Matter of fact, the devil will throw a few in there as well. God never causes evil. The Bible says that God is not the author of evil, but God will allow evil in our lives. Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, there are a whole lot of reasons for that one, which we don't have time to go into this morning. But God will allow bad things to happen to good people in order to test our faith, what we're talking about this morning. Even the flat tires, the phone calls, that the message that we miss, the strange things, the trivial things, even these are opportunities for us to grow in our character, in our Christian character, to develop faith, to become more Christ-like if we respond to them in the right way. Isaiah said this. This is what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah. God said, I have tested you in the furnace of suffering. Any of you been there? You ever been in a furnace of suffering? Man, it's hot. My experience there, it's been very hot. When the heat is on in our lives and the pressure's on, and you think, I'm about to explode. I'm about to boil over with this thing here. I can't handle the heat in my life right now. It's too much. Congratulations, you're in the furnace of suffering. But when the heat is on, it's a test. So how does God want me to respond to these tests that are going to come? James 1, 2, and 3. Listen to this. Count it all joy, my brothers, my sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. And here's the reason. For you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. How many of you like that verse? Count it all joy. When you have a problem, how many of you think we all just cut that one out of the Bible? This is not one of those easy verses, is it? Be happy when you're tested in different ways. What in the world is God saying here? Is God saying when there's a tragedy, I should be happy and smile and just be happy and be happy about it? No. When I see evil, should I be happy about it? No. When things go wrong and I sin, should I be happy about that? No. The happiness is not over the event. The happiness, according to God's Word, is the second part of the verse. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith is going to produce endurance. Endurance. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you more faithful. Knowing that God is in control, that God has a purpose, that God has a plan, and even the bad things that come into my life, He can turn around and use them for good if I trust Him. Because of those things that I know, I can be happy even in sad times. Not over the sadness, but knowing that God has a bigger picture for me. So here's the second truth. I can grow in my faith when I rejoice. Third one, halfway there. God tests my faith through delays. You familiar with this test? If every prayer in your life that you ever prayed was answered immediately, if every problem you had was automatically solved, if every need that you had was instantly met, you wouldn't have any faith. You'd be a spoiled brat. God intentionally delays some answers to our prayers in our lives in order to stretch our faith. I believe God's timing is perfect. He's never late. He's never too early. He's always on time. My problem, my timetable doesn't always meet God's timetable. There will be delays in life. Now, people in general, you know this, we've talked about it before, I hate to wait. Do you? Have you ever gone into a restaurant and had to wait like 20 minutes before you got the menu? And they call that guy coming to my table the waiter? No, I'm the waiter, you know. He's the waitee. We don't like to wait, do we? We don't like delays. What we do in the test of life where we're delayed and we're waiting on God, we often take things in our own hands and we get ourselves into trouble. The fact of life is we spend a large amount of our days in delays. For instance, let me just pick out a little group this morning. Moms with children under 12. It takes 13 hours on average a week to prepare food for your family, for the average American family. But it also only takes 6 seconds to fold a terry cloth towel. It takes 10 seconds for a Slinky to tumble down a full flight of steps. Here's a few others, not necessarily for moms, but for all of us. It takes 24 hours for plaque to colonize on your teeth. So brush your teeth every day, okay? And here's one that really stretches you, okay? It takes 75,000 years for a comet to return so we can see it. Now, much of our lives, what I'm saying here, is built around delays, isn't it? And if we don't know how to wait patiently, we'll never grow in our faith. When we're in this test, we tend to ask the when question. Like, when is this ever going to end? When is my marriage going to get better? How long, God, am I going to have this problem? There's a whole book in the Bible about this question. It's called Habakkuk, because Habakkuk is hammering God about how long are you going to let the bad guys win, God? And we start saying things too, like when? When am I going to get that new job? When am I going to meet that special person? When, and some couples have been saying, when are we going to have a baby? While other couples are saying, when is our baby going to leave home? Takes a second, doesn't it? When am I going to get well? When are our finances going to turn around? When is the hurt going to stop? When am I going to come out of this? You're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. And what do you do while you wait? Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. It's a good one to mark down. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Grow your faith. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you what? The desires of your heart. He's saying in God's waiting room, use that time and experience to grow. Use that time and experience to develop your faith. While I'm waiting, know that God is working. It may be behind the scenes. It may be I can't see it. But whatever, God is working. There are some things that God wants to do in our lives that the outcome is not in doubt. He's going to do it. But He's delayed in doing it. No, again, a delay is not a denial. There's a difference between no and not yet. God will test our faith through the delays. And while I'm waiting, God is working. So what do I do? Hear the words of Jesus, Luke 18:1. Jesus told them a parable. He told them a story, okay? To the effect that they always ought to pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. Here's the truth, the third truth. I can grow in my faith when I don't give up. I can grow in my faith in God when I don't give up. One other test, and probably this is the greatest one by far. for many of us, for the majority of us. God will test our faith through our dollars. Now, why am I using this? Okay? It's something. Even though God has blessed us with you here at Five Forks Baptist this year, our budget needs are $747,000. You have given $851,000. We have tried to be faithful here as your staff and the leadership by only spending $693,000. That's a little extra we got in the bank, right? Again, you gave within a month over $22,000 for foreign missions, okay? But what I want to share with you is a principle, and the reason I share this with you this morning, I'm not trying to get you to give back to the church. What I'm sharing is, here's a principle from God's Word that God says, this is important because it shows me your heart. God will use a financial crisis in our lives to teach us to trust Him. He uses money to teach us to put our trust in Him. Jesus said in Luke 16:11, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, if you have not been faithful in what you God has given to you here in the world, who's going to trust you with the true riches? Who's going to trust you with spiritual riches? God says there's a direct relationship between how I manage and handle my money and the quality and the depth of my spiritual life. Do you see where I'm going with this? He says, if you're not trustworthy, if you're not responsible in using your money wisely, then God's not going to trust you with the true riches, the spiritual blessings. How I handle my money determines how much God will bless my life. Why? Why, out of all the things in the world, would God pick money? Because money is the acid test of faith in most people's lives in America. Why? Because you and I live in the most materialistic society in all the world. And the reason that God has chosen this area, because most of our lives revolve around our finances. God is saying in His Word, through the subject of money, who are you going to trust in your life? Is it going to be your money? Is it going to be your wealth? Is it going to be your things? Or is it going to be with me? God test us with dollars. Can I remind you of this truth? Everything you have belongs to God. Everything you have, God has given to you. Can we take a moment? We're going to pray for about 10 seconds here in a moment, okay? You woke up this morning in a warm house, correct? You woke up this morning with hot water running in your house. You don't have to go outside to a creek. You woke up this morning with food, hot food, right? You woke up this morning with plenty of clothes to put on. Every one of that. Just for this morning, you got in a warm car to come to church. God's given to you, and God has given to me. Can we stop right now and thank God for that? Father, I want to thank you at this moment in this service right now, Lord, for blessing us here in the United States. There's crazy things going on in our nation, our society. But God, you've given us all that we have. Thank you. We praise you. Amen. God has said, all that I mentioned this morning, all that we have in our lives, God has said, this is a test. Test me and see if you really believe. I want you to give. Now, this is God just reminding you. I want you to give 10% of everything you make back to me. Now, how do you know there's a God? To me, one of the greatest proofs that God exists is that He keeps His promises and that He answers prayers. God says, if you do this, I'll do this, and He does, right? He always does, absolutely. He never fails. You can always thank and praise God for His faithfulness. It's interesting to me, and you search the Bible if you want to this afternoon, there's only one place where it says, you could test me. This is God saying. This is where you could test me. I'm going to test you in all kinds of ways. Here's one place you can test me. It's in Malachi 3, 10 and 11. And basically he's saying this, I want you to take 10% of what I give to you and give it back to me in gratitude for the fact that I let you have all this other stuff. And in faith, I'm going to take care of all your other needs just as an act of love. If you do that, God says, if you do that, I will prove to you I exist, because I'm going to bless you by stretching that 90% that you have left to go further than the 100% would ever take you. I'll fill your barns to overflowing. I will bless you beyond measure, not just here on earth, but I will bless you in heaven. God is saying, try me, test me, prove me, says the Lord. So whatever, whenever you want God's blessing on your life, you need to put Him first in it, whatever area of life it is. If you want God to bless your marriage, you put Him first in your marriage. If you want God to bless your career, you put Him first in your career. If you want God to bless your schoolwork, you put Him first in your school. If you want God to bless your finances, you put Him first in your finances. And there is the greatest test for many of us right here. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need it. God is not poor. But we need to give. Why? Because God is a giving God. And giving will make us a giver. And we can't be like God. We can't be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ unless we give. Look at this last verse and I'm going to close, okay? 2 Corinthians 8:8. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he says, I say this not as a command, but for you to prove to others that your love is genuine, that your love for God is genuine, your love for others is genuine. In other words, giving not only tests my faith, it's going to test my love for God and for others. So here's the last truth. I can grow in my faith in 2018 when I give generously. Now every time I obey, every time I rejoice in a problem, every time I wait patiently, and yes, every time I give generously, I'm going to stretch my faith. I'm going to grow in my faith. God wants to do that in our lives in 2018. Jane has a co-worker where she works at the bank. He has two little girls. One is around 13, I think. The other is 3. So he was taking his oldest girl to somewhere, and the 3-year-old was riding in the back, and they got to where they were going. The 13-year-old got out, and they started off, and he and his 3-year-old daughter, and then he heard this voice come out of the back. It's just you and me, bird brain. For right now, for just a few moments, take the word bird brain out of this, okay? But right now, it's just us and God. You're looking toward the year 2018. What is it God would have you to do? What is it that God wants to do in your life? One thing that I know He wants to do for each and every one of us is to grow in our faith. Would you take a moment as I close this sermon with a word of prayer? Would you make that your prayer this morning? God, of all the things that you might want to do in my life, one thing that I would ask that you do, you help me to grow in my faith in you. Would you pray that? Let's pray right now. Father, now as we close this service, God, as we pray this last prayer, Father, I pray for me, for Jane, for my family. Lord, I want to pray for all of our church as they pray, as we pray. God, we thank you for this year 2017 you brought us through, and tomorrow we'll begin a new year. And Lord, I may have other resolutions, things I may want to do or see done in my life, but right now, God, between me and you, just you and I, God, I would ask, that you grow my faith. And I know it will come through testing and different things like that. But God, find me faithful and help me to grow. And I pray by this time next year, I'll see a difference in my spiritual life and in my faith and my walk with you. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close now, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And as we do, and if God has led you to a decision that you want to come and to pray about, to come you want me to pray with you about, to come and to receive Christ as your Savior, to come and to join this good church, will you come as we sing? Let's stand together. Tony?